Come to the book of Zechariah here this afternoon. I want to speak on the subject, Israel under attack. Israel under attack. Zechariah chapter 14. If you have a Bible, do keep it open. I'm just going to read one verse. There's a little text I want to get to by the end of the meeting. I want to apply it in the gospel just as I give you the context and then preach a little bit on the text. We've tried to keep these meetings on time, and that's my plan again. We like to start on time, we like to finish on time, and we like you to know if you bring someone along, they're not going to be sitting here for hours and hours. We do try to be prompt and get the gospel over as quickly and as faithfully as we possibly can. Zechariah 14 and verse number 7. Zechariah 14 and verse number 7. But it shall be in one day, which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Just get that little text into your heart and mind this afternoon. At evening time, it shall be light. And we know that God will bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts here this afternoon. Not for the first time in history, we find Israel in the news and we find Israel under attack. It's being attacked, of course, by Hamas and the Palestinians as we speak. The rockets are flying in from Gaza into various parts of Israel. It's always under attack by biased media organizations. It's under attack by an overtly biased United Nations. And you find little Israel so often having to bear the butt of the attacks and persecution from so many different places. As I say, Hamas, a terrorist organization backed by the Iranian government, has been firing rockets. When I was preparing this message, it was in hundreds. It's now in thousands. These rockets have been coming from Gaza and they've been flying into Israel. Normally they attack the southern part of Israel, but they've even been attacking as far as Jerusalem. And when they attack Jerusalem, as Netanyahu, the president or the prime minister of Israel, said, they had crossed a line. They had crossed a line. He said, we will not tolerate an attack on our territory, in our capital, on our citizens and soldiers. Whoever attacks us will pay a heavy price. He also said, we're in a struggle on several fronts, in Jerusalem, Gaza, and other places in Israel. The terrorist groups in Gaza crossed a red line on the eve of Jerusalem Day, a red line, and attacked us with rockets on the outskirts of Jerusalem. And of course, the usual supporters and anti-Israel people have been jumping in the bandwagon. One man who was a councillor in Belfast City Council, he's no longer a councillor, but he tweeted, let the rockets rain. Let the rockets rain on Jerusalem. And of course, Israel, as ever, is being attacked left, right, and centre. Thank the Lord for their Iron Dome technology. I don't know where you've seen any of the videos. This is technology that was developed and manufactured in Israel, which can detect the rockets that are coming. It can actually detect the rockets that are going to hit the target, and it will single out those rockets and take them out. And because of that, many lives have been spared. Now, let me say this. Israel doesn't have a blank check to attack anyone. Just because they, I believe they're under attack, it doesn't give them the right to do anything that would be outside the will of God or outside the word of God, and I have to make that clear. But I think we know from what we've read, we know from what's going on, who started this trouble. And we know, as many leaders have said, Israel does have the right to defend itself. But Israel are under attack. This has been the worst week in Jerusalem and indeed in the Middle East since 2017. Now, Israel being under attack is nothing new. And let me say, when we open the Word of God, when we open the prophetic scriptures, when we particularly open the book of Zechariah, we discover that there are going to be sustained attacks on tiny little Israel. We discover when we come to the end times that Israel will be under attack. Surely what we're seeing today is a foretaste, just a foretaste. I'm not saying that it's a fulfillment of prophecy. Don't misquote me. But I'm saying what we see when the rockets are raining in Israel, we're seeing a foretaste of what's to come. an old Jewish commentator who lived in 1919. After reading the book of Zechariah, he said, there will come a day when there'll be a restoration of the Jews into their land. He says they'll be restored into their land in unbelief. And of course, we know on the 14th of May 1948, Israel as a nation was born. Now, he said this in 1919 when it seemed an impossibility. But when he read the word of God and he read the prophetic scriptures, he understood that Israel would be in the land, yes, in unbelief, but they would be in the land. And of course, he knew that there would be attacks upon Israel and there'd be those who would try to threaten the very existence of Israel. The United Nations Security Council are meeting sometime this afternoon. The Islamic Cooperation, representing 57 Islamic nations and 1.8 billion people. They too are meeting today to decide their response to what's going on in Israel in these days. It's precarious times. And Israel surely is becoming that cup of trembling that the prophet Zechariah spoke of many years ago. And I want to think of this little text, but I want to set it in context to begin with. It shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. I want to talk about the terrible predicament, first of all. We're moving into the end times. Now I want you to see what's going to happen to Israel. Israel are going to be under attack. Look at Zechariah 14 verse 1. I'll do this very, very quickly for you this afternoon. The Lord says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. Let me say, the enemies will be dismissed of Israel. So much so that they're going to divide the spoil and they're going to do it right in the middle of the city. They'll not be afraid of tiny Israel at this stage. They'll not be afraid of Jerusalem. And so they will be dismissive of Israel. That's a dangerous thing to do. It's a dangerous thing. We know in the New Testament, if God be for us, who can be against us? We know as God's people that we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And we know that God will stand by Israel. It's a dangerous thing to be dismissive of Israel. They are dismissive of Israel. They will be drawn internationally. Look at verse number 2. And here God says, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Can you imagine coming from the north, coming from the east, coming from the south, coming from the west, all moving in against tiny little Israel. And all the nations of the world will be gathered against Jerusalem. Now, that's not my prophecy. That's what God says in verse number 2. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. When we go to the book of the Revelation, here's what it says. Revelation 16 verse 16. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And not for the first time Israel is going to be outnumbered. Not for the first time it will appear that this will be the end of, the death of, the removal of Israel once and for all. You can see the terrible predicament. You can see Israel under attack. You can see they will be dismissive of Israel. They will be drawn internationally. You can see the despicable invaders. Some of the things that they will do. Verse 1 says, they will divide the spoil. They will plunder the people. Verse 2 says, the houses shall be rifled. The houses will be ransacked. Verse 2 again says, the woman will be ravished. I'm not going into that this afternoon, but you would know that the Jewish woman will not be treated with respect. And I'll say no more than that for the sake of the families that are here this afternoon. You can see these despicable invaders. They'll divide the spoil. There'll be destruction. There'll be defiling. They'll be dominating as well. Let me read verse 2 again. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken and the houses rifled, and the woman ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity. And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. You see, about half the city will be taken prisoner. The other half, this remnant, God will protect. But I want you to see the terrible predicament. What is going to happen to Israel? They are absolutely surrounded. They're under attack from every side. And the women are being ravished. The houses are ransacked. And there seems to be so much destruction and so much death. But then comes the turning point. Look at verse number 3. Look at the assurance here. Then, when Israel's at its darkest, then, at that moment when all seems to be lost, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. You see the assurance here. You see the Lord shall go forth. Jehovah is on their side. You see he's going to fight. The Lord shall go forth and fight against these nations. You know, Zechariah tells us in Zechariah 2 verse 8 that Israel is the apple of his eye. And if you touch the apple of the eye, you will know that if someone comes at you, the first thing you'll protect will be your eyes. And you wouldn't want someone to touch the pupil of the eye. And God says, Israel is the apple of my eye. And when you touch Israel, you're putting your finger in the eye of God. And these nations, and some tonight, are putting their finger in the eye of God. And that's not a position I would want to be in. But you see, God will go forth and fight for them. Things are going to change drastically for the enemies, victoriously for Israel. Now, we're talking in a future day. Genesis 12, verse 3, God says, I will bless them that bless thee, speaking of Israel. I will curse him that curseth thee. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You can see the turning point. You see the assurance. Then you see the actualities. How is this going to come about? Look at verse number 4. I'm just breaking this down gently for you. I'm not going in to do a heavy Bible study here this afternoon. Time wouldn't permit. But I want to show you what's going to happen in a day yet to come. You see, it says in verse 4, his feet shall stand on that day upon the Mount of Olives. Verse 3 is talking about the Lord. Verse 4 talks about the Lord and his feet standing on the Mount of Olives. You remember when Christ left the Mount of Olives. You remember the angel says, this same Jesus shall come in so like manner as you have seen him go. And the Lord Jesus is coming back to the Mount of Olives. And you see, he's coming back to fight for Israel at this battle of Armageddon, but he's not coming on his own. If you look at verse number 5, the end of the verse says, the Lord, my God, shall come with all the saints with thee. And you see, God is coming with the armies of heaven. You know, when you go to Revelation 19, John says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. And it goes on to talk about how he has the armies of heaven with him, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Jude, verse 14, talks about the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints. Paul talked in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 13, that the Lord would come with all his saints. Now, let me stop there for a moment. If Jesus Christ is coming with his saints, he must come first for his saints. I believe that Jesus Christ will come, and he could come today. And all who are saved will rise up to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And when the Lord comes to the air, all the saints, those who have died in Christ, those who are alive, will rise up to meet the Lord in the air. Then there's going to be a 7-year tribulation upon this old world. And the Lord says the world has never seen the like of it. At the close of that tribulation, Jesus Christ will come to the Mount of Olives. That's what we're reading about. And he's coming with his saints. You can see the turning point here. You can see that he will come with his saints. He will stand upon the Mount of Olives. And we're told that this mountain will split open. Verse 4, his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof. Verse 5 talks about an earthquake. And you know, this mountain will open up. And you see, the Jews that were under attack, they will escape up the middle of this mountain. You remember, God brought them through the wall of the sea. Here God is going to bring them through the wall of this mountain. And Israel will escape, and Israel will be spared. Here's what Revelation says. He gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. In verse 18 of Revelation 16, God talks about so mighty an earthquake and so great. I don't know what sort of an earthquake is going to be, but this mountain will open up when Christ stands upon it. What a day this is going to be. What a turning point. All the nations have gathered against Israel. The Lord has come and set his feet upon the Mount of Olives. If you look at verse 6 and 7, there's going to be changes in the sky. It shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass. Here's the text, that at evening time it shall be light. You see, it should be dark, but it's going to be light. God is going to intervene miraculously. And at the darkest time is going to be light. Joel tells us the sun and moon shall be darkened and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord said, except those days be shortened, no flesh shall be saved. We read in Matthew chapter 24, immediately after the tribulation of these days shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light and the stars shall fall from heaven and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. There's going to be effects in the sky. You see, where the Lord stands, you see the sky. Verse 11 says, and the men that dwell therein shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. God will come. The enemies of Israel will be defeated. And those who survive will dwell safely in Jerusalem. Here's what we read in verse number 9. I've called it the achievement, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Revelation 19 talks about Christ coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when Christ comes and is victorious at the Battle of Armageddon, he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a day that's going to be for Israel. They're going to look upon him whom they have pierced. And those who rejected the Messiah will be saved by God's matchless grace. You see the terrible predicament? Israel will be under attack. You see the turning point? Jesus Christ will come back and the enemies of Israel will be defeated. Now I want to come to the text. You see the terrible predicament. You see the turning point. You see the text that is powerful. Look at the end of verse number 7. That evening time it shall be light. Wouldn't the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ brighten any situation? What a bright day it's going to be for Israel. Paul says in Romans 11, and so all Israel shall be saved. And listen, let me say this clearly and without apology. God has a future for Israel. And God has a plan for Israel. And God will see that his promises for Israel will be fulfilled and will be fulfilled literally. But I want to take this text. This text where darkness was made light. Now I want to give you a few examples. I want to challenge you very quickly. You see, this is a miracle of God. At evening, it shall be light. Do you remember in creation? Do you remember that the earth was without form and darkness was upon the face of the deep? But you remember God said, let there be light. And at evening, there was light. In the darkness, God spoke and there was light. You can see it in creation. You can see it at the crucifixion. Do you remember when Christ was hanging on the cross, dying in our guilty room instead? Remember, there was darkness all over the land. What a dark, dark time. What an evening time. And yet we roll forward to the third day and we stand at the empty tomb and the angel says, come. He is not here, for he is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and at evening there shall be light. And that dark situation at Calvary is transformed into a marvelous light situation because Christ has defeated sin and death and hell. You see it at creation. You see it in crucifixion. Listen, you see it in situations. Maybe there's a child of God and you're going through a dark situation, an evening situation. Remember, in the Middle East, evening is pitch black. And the darkness has enveloped you and you feel there's no way out. You see, for a child of God, do you remember when the plague of darkness came upon the Egyptians in Exodus 10? It says the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. You see, at evening there was light. And God worked miraculously. And God can work in your dark situation, believer, child of God. And God can lighten that dark situation for you. Will you trust Him? You see, when it comes to creation and crucifixion and situations, when it comes to illumination, let me explain. The god of this world, that's the devil, has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Listen, your heart is blinded, and you cannot see, spiritually speaking. Now, you might argue with me that you've got good sight, but spiritually, if you're not saved, the devil has blinded your mind and you're in darkness. But here's the good news. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, can shine into your heart, and where there's darkness, there can be light. I wonder, has the light of the gospel fallen in your heart? I wonder, can you see it as never before? Can you see how much Jesus loved you? Can you see that you were a sinner deserving of hell and judgment, and yet Jesus Christ loved you and took that judgment on the center cross? If you trust Him, that judgment is taken for you, and He gives you His righteousness, and that darkness that's in your heart will be dispersed with light. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. You see it in creation. You see it at the crucifixion. You see it in situations. You see it in illuminations. At evening time, it shall be light. Listen, you see it in salvation. Paul said in Colossians 1 verse 13, we have been delivered from the power of darkness. We were under the control of darkness without Christ. The enemy of souls, the old devil, had a grip in your life and my life. But the moment that you're saved, you're delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. The Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth in me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And at evening time there shall be light. What light would dawn today if you were to trust Christ? He that followeth me, Jesus said, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You will have life and life eternal. And at evening time, it shall be light. Paul said, we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye the light of the world. Walk as children of the light. Let me take you to one final evening scene, one dark scene. I want to talk about a man called Stephen. We read about Stephen in Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen is taken out by a mob. They cast him out of the city and they stoned him. And as the stones were bouncing off the head of Stephen, he knew he was going to die. And Stephen looks up to heaven and he sees the Lord Jesus Christ standing ready to receive him into glory. And indeed, as he draws his last breath, he says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice. And Stephen died. But you see, in that darkness when he was dying, there was light. He could see Christ. He could see Jesus waiting to welcome him home to heaven. Tell me, when your evening time comes, when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, will it be darkness, 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 and outer darkness? Or will there be light? Because as you close your eyes in death, if you're saved, you'll open them in glory. And at evening time, it shall be light. Oh, you know, death for the believer is just the gateway to glory. We're all going to go that evening way. Because it's appointed unto man once to die. But after this, the judgment, when you draw your last breath, will we be able to say at evening time, it's hard, it's difficult, we don't like to see anyone die, but at evening time, there shall be light. It shall be light because we know that you're going to open your eyes in glory. You're going to be in God's heaven. where there's no night and no darkness, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And for all eternity it will be light. To die without Christ, we're told they'll be cast into outer darkness. Indeed, the scripture says the blackness of darkness forever. No light, no hope. Tell me, can we take this little text that tells us one day Israel will be under attack in a way that is never seen before, but at evening time it shall be light, for Jesus will come back and Jesus will fight for Israel and Israel will have a glorious future? But is this true of you this afternoon? At evening time it shall be light. At the evening time of death, will there be light for you? Jesus says to you this afternoon, I am the light of the world. He stands and he wants you to come to him, that you may walk in the light as he is in the light, and no longer walk in darkness. Psychologists tell us that one of the most difficult conditions a person can be forced to bear is light deprivation. It's used for torture. Yes, they can torture the body physically, and I'm sure that's not pleasant. But one of the things they do is they put you in a dark room and you see no light whatsoever. Psychologists say that we become so disorientated, we lose a sense of where we are, who we are, what we are. And we don't know whether we're coming or going. It's torture. The old devil knows that. And he's keeping you in darkness. And he wants to take you to the depths of darkness, to hell for all eternity. And God's saying to you, listen, at evening time it shall be light. The glorious light of the gospel is here. And God wants to shine into your heart. Is God speaking to you? Is the Spirit of God working with you? You know, we often sing in funeral situations, abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord. Lord, with me abide. And when the darkness deepens, will you know the abiding presence of the Lord? And at evening it shall be light for you. But if you don't know Christ, then there's no light. And there's no hope. I believe with all my heart, as we look around Israel, as we look at our own government in Stormont, as we see the way things are going morally, I believe that Jesus Christ is coming, and he's coming soon. Remember, he's coming first for the sins. And if you're not saved, you'll be left and you'll be lost for all eternity. Will you look to Christ? Because there's life for a look at the crucified one. There's life with a capital L. There's life at this moment for thee. And no matter what happens in your life, we'll be able to say at evening time, it shall be light, and you'll know the light of God's presence in heaven for all eternity. It's time to get saved. It's time to get saved now. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we look into the future, we know that God's in control of the future. Lord, we don't know when Jesus Christ will return, but we believe his return is drawing nigh. And we agree with James that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And Lord, our prayer is that you will speak to hearts here this afternoon. And Lord, for any who sit in nature's darkness, Lord, that the light of the glorious gospel will shine into their hearts. Lord, that they'll not waste this opportunity. Lord, that someone here will get saved by your amazing grace today and leave this place walking in the light with Jesus Christ as their Savior, and know that one day they'll be in a place where there's no more night, no more darkness, and they'll be with Christ for all eternity. Grant it, Lord, for we ask it in our Savior's precious name. Amen.